Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. He said, they've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. He said, I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. This is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him. Today I'll be speaking about the circumcision. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 6, I'm reading verses 8 to 15. This is in the book of Acts, chapter 6, starting in verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Verse 9. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and the Cyrenians, and the Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia of Asia, disputing with Stephen. Verse 10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Verse 11. Then they suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. Verse 12. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came unto him and caught him and brought him to the council. Verse 13. And set up false witnesses which said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. Verse 14. And we've heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered unto us. Verse 15. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it being the face of an angel. William Gurnall was an English author, an Anglican clergyman born in King's Lynn, Norfolk, where he was baptized on the 17th of November, 1616. He wrote, cowards never won heaven. Do not claim that you are begotten of God and have his royal blood running in your veins unless you can prove your lineage by his heroic spirit to dare to be holy in spite of men and devils. Stephen had godly wisdom, no fear, and even had the face of an angel, just like Moses. He did not have to cover his face afterwards because his life was glorifying to God. Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit and answered all the religious leaders, giving them a chance to repent. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 to 13, I'm reading. This is 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, starting in verse 7. But if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away? Verse 8. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Verse 9. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, how much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory? Verse 10. For even then that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excels. Verse 11. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remains is glorious. Verse 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Verse 13. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Those circumcised by Christ are bold and have denied themselves and taken up their cross. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 to 11, I'm reading. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 2. I'm reading verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Verse 9, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but they are the synagogue of Satan. Verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil will cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Verse 11, and he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches, and he that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. Based on their works, tribulation, and financial standing, Jesus called the church of Smyrna rich. Only those claiming to be Jews in the church were still disciples of the devil. Those not making any excuses and using what they had to do more, despite the persecution, experienced God making a way of escape. Many were in sight of winning the crown of life, while other saints had to endure up to 10 days in prison. Those following Christ are happy to pay a price to be an image of God in the face of persecution. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. This is Philippians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You cannot hold forth the word of life when you're always complaining. If you're not seeking the kingdom of God, the devil offer you food on the table, a counterfeit version of Christianity with no lasting fruit of the Spirit. Paul said in Romans 14 and verse 17 and 18, I'm reading. This is Romans chapter 14, starting in verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Verse 18, for he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. In the Amplified Bible, Romans 14:17 says, after all, the kingdom of God is not a matter of getting the food and drink one likes, but instead it is righteousness, that state which makes a person acceptable to God, and heart peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Start serving where you are now in the body of Christ, or where God sends you to serve. Others will recognize you are set apart by God, by the fact that you can always rejoice in all circumstances, and your peace is consistent. Those who belong to Christ have circumcised their flesh and are always serving. Paul said in Galatians 5 and verse 13, this is Galatians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Stephen was serving the apostles in the kitchen, looking after those who were without food during the Roman occupation of Jerusalem. Stephen was brought before the religious leaders, wrongly accused. Stephen said in the book of Acts, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 2 to verse 9. This is in the book of Acts, chapter 7, starting in verse 2. And he said, "Men and brethren and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan." Verse 3. "And said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee." Verse 4. "Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein you now dwell." Verse 5. "And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child." Verse 6. "And God spoke on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil for 400 years. Verse 7. "And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God. And after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place." Verse 8. "And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. Verse 9. "And the patriarchs moved with envy and sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him." The sons of Jacob did not take that covenant seriously and learn how to be servants, but instead did what seemed right to them. God was faithful, however, to Joseph, who chose to serve and believe God's covenant could not be broken. Joseph even asked his bones not to be buried in Egypt, because he believed that the Jews would enter the promised land, which they did through Joshua and Caleb. Circumcision was part of God's covenant with the patriarchs to give them an inheritance based on serving in Christ's kingdom without fear. We read in Luke chapter 1, verses 67 to 74. This is in Luke's gospel. Chapter 1, I'm reading verse 67. "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying," verse 68, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." Verse 69. "And has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." Verse 70. "And he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began." Verse 71. "And that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us." Verse 72. "To perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant." Verse 73. "And the oath which he swore to our father Abraham." Verse 74. "That he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear." Through Jesus, you can live a life without fear. John was speaking in 1 John chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. This is 1 John chapter 4. I'm reading verse 18. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love." Verse 19. "We love him because he first loved us." Paul gave a promise to all those who love Christ and are working on their calling. He said in Romans 8 and verse 28. This is Romans chapter 8, and reading verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them who are called according to his purpose." You will not benefit from doing any religious act. Everything must be done out of love, or you will contaminate yourself again. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. This is Galatians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. The moment you are born again, you are supposed to use that love from God to do something pure and love him back. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 19. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I'm reading verse 19. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping of the commandments of God. You can safely keep God's commands because he will not allow you to be tested beyond your ability. Anything else in this world is contaminated by the God of this world. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14 and verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." You are supposed to be obeying his commands and following Jesus. Christianity is not just another religion, but a love relationship with a living God. It's not based on following doctrines or rituals and traditions. Any outward signs of religious devotion or fasting has no value. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 14 and 15. This is Matthew chapter 9. I'm reading verse 14. "Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but thy disciples fast not?" Verse 15. "And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then they shall fast." In the book Experiencing the Depths of Jesus Christ, Library of Spiritual Classics, Volume 2, by Jean Marie Goyon, she says, this is translated text, "A man who fasts, leaving out all that his appetite inappropriately craves, does well. But a believer who fasts, laying down his own desires and will, who feeds himself only with the will of God, does much better. This is what Paul called the circumcision of the heart. His kingdom is here now by the Spirit, so there's no reason to fast unless something becomes addictive. A true believer will only fast if directed by the Lord to do something more important instead. We read in the book of Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 3. This is in the book of Isaiah 55. I'm reading verse 1. "Lo, everyone who's thirsty, come to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Verse 2, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Verse 3, "Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." A new covenant was promised in the Old Testament. Paul was speaking about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 to 17. I'm reading. This is Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 12. "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Verse 13. "From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool." Verse 14. "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Verse 15. "Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said this before." Verse 16. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." Verse 17. "And their sins and iniquities I remember no more." When Jesus died on the cross, the covenant of circumcision given to the Jews was superseded. God made a new covenant that includes his laws written in the hearts of all those people who listen and obey the Holy Spirit. The new covenant is for those who repent, not just confess their sins. Only through the new covenant, your sins can be remembered no more. When you repent of dead works, through the Holy Spirit, you can put on Christ by denying yourself daily and learn to live by faith based on the precious promises of God. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 29. This is Galatians chapter 3, starting verse 26. For you all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. Verse 29. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Stephen learned how faith worked through feeding those who had very little. God could use Stephen to speak the truth powerfully, and he died for his faith at the hands of the religious leaders, giving the good confession. Stephen said in Acts chapter 7, verses 51 to 60, I'm reading. This is Acts chapter 7, starting verse 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Verse 52, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? They have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers. Verse 53, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Verse 55, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Verse 56, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Verse 57, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. Verse 58, and cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Verse 59, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Verse 60, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he said this, he fell asleep. The Amplified Bible in Acts chapter 7, verse 51 says, you stubborn and stiff-necked people, still heathen and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you're always actively resisting the Holy Spirit. As your forefathers were, so you are, and so you do. If you are actively resisting the Holy Spirit, then you are uncircumcised in your heart and ears. You have opinions instead. You might know many others. You just call Jesus Lord without a simple childlike faith. But that doesn't make it right. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, I'm reading Matthew's Gospel chapter 7, I'm reading verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of the Father, which is in heaven. You cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit like Stephen if you are still serving mammon. Those who have circumcised hearts never say no to the Holy Spirit. You can only have the right fruit by obeying the Holy Spirit, living on the narrow way. Righteousness, peace, and joy are immovable qualities in the kingdom of God now. We read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verses 1 to 5. This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 26. I'm starting in verse 1. And in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. we have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Verse 2. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Verse 4. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Verse 5. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city. He layeth it low, he lays it low, even to the ground. He brings it even to the dust. Some need a building to worship God, or an infrastructure in place already, where they can feel comfortable. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. The quotations below are taken from the story of George Muller. You can find it at www.mullers.org. We read, George Muller lived from 1805 to 1898. He came from Germany to London as a missionary in 1830. When he was 23. However, he became seriously ill and went to Devon to get better. There he became the pastor of Sheldon Chapel in Teignmouth. He gave up his salary to rely only on God. He started to receive money in the post, and food and clothes were left at his door. He married Mary Groves when he was 25. In 1832, the streets of Bristol were dirty. There was no underground sewerage system, and disease spread easily. There was an outbreak of cholera, and lots of people died, leaving many orphans living on the streets or in the workhouses. These children would be sent to work from as young as 4 or 5 years old. Some were treated very badly. Others lived on the streets, stealing and begging to support themselves. George and Mary wanted to help. In 1875, at the age of 70, George set off on the first of many journeys all over the world. He travelled 200,000 miles in 17 years, telling the story of how God had provided for the orphans at Ashley Down near Bristol. Everyone has a different calling, but the kingdom of God is here for those who are not lazy and want to experience his grace and mercy. It is by hearing his voice and living in the kingdom now we get to know him and experience his provision by faith, doing the things that please him. Those on the narrow way get to understand him and not concerned about their status in this life. They know this world is passing away. We read in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 9, I'm reading verses 23 to 26. This is Jeremiah chapter 9, starting in verse 23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Verse 24. Let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. Verse 25. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised. Verse 26. Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all that are in the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness, for all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel uncircumcised in the heart. In the book, My Sheep and My Voice, in chapter 1, on knowing God, on pages 7 and 8, Joseph H. Scott writes, the Lord says not to glory in wisdom, might, power, or riches. Yet most of the ambition in this world, even in believers, involves one or all of these three categories. People are driven to achieve knowledge and pride themselves on the wisdom they have attained. Many have built large, powerful kingdoms on earth to display their might. The carnal nature seeks this kind of power and control. Part of the original purpose of man was to maintain dominion, yet Satan has perverted this and tempts us to seek it from the flesh. Finally, many people try to accumulate riches so that they can be completely independent, run their own lives, and seek after anything their hearts desire. Riches give them the power to fulfill all the lusts of their flesh. Yet the Lord said to only glory in the fact that you know and understand Him. The judgment is coming on all those now who are uncircumcised in heart, whether they are born again or not, those who are not serving the King of Kings or be left behind. God has allowed knowledge and technology to increase in these last days to give everyone access to what they need and have time to seek God and get ready for the final judgment. The advancements in technology designed to relieve suffering in this world did not benefit everyone because of a few people pursuing personal wealth and riches for themselves. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6, I'm reading to verse 11. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. Verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us be content therewith. Verse 9, but they which be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Do not imitate those serving their own interests in the body of Christ who lack godliness and pursue the things that Paul mentions here by doing everything in the way that the Holy Spirit directs. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18 and verse 8, this is Luke's gospel, chapter 18, I'm reading verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? God is no respecter of persons, and he chooses whom he wants to use. We read in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 48. I'm reading in the book of Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Verse 35. But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. Verse 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Verse 37. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after baptism, which John preached. Verse 38. How God appointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Verse 39. And we are witnesses of all these things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Verse 40. And him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Verse 41. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. Verse 42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. Verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him shall receive the remission of sins. Verse 44. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. Verse 45. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter. Verse 47. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which has received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Verse 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. The Jews with Peter were surprised to see the Holy Spirit coming on the Gentiles, since they were not circumcised. Peter responded by agreeing that the Gentiles should be baptized. The Holy Spirit coming on them was a sign that they had made a decision in their hearts that pleased God. Baptism is a declaration of independence from the flesh to live a godly life in Christ Jesus through obedience to the Spirit. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, verses 16, I'm reading verse 21. This is John 14. I'm starting in verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But ye know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 19. Yea, a little while, and the world sees me no more. But ye see me, because I live, and ye shall live also. Verse 20. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Verse 21. And he that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. The only comfort you need following Christ should come through the Holy Spirit and him directing your life. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm reading verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Those circumcised by Christ often keep a diary so they can effectively examine themselves and see evidence that God is with them and providing daily for their needs by faith. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm reading verse 5. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? The word reprobates in Strong's is number 96. It comes from some other words which means unapproved, that is rejected, by implication worthless, literally or morally, a castaway, rejected. God decides who is worthless, not man. You may not have the approval of others or be rejected by this world because you are not talented, educated, or rich. However, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 29. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. Verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Verse 28. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Verse 29. That no flesh should glorify in his presence. Make sure you are not tempted to touch the glory, and think that you can go back to the flesh and please God. Jesus said to his disciples in John 15, verses 4 to 8. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 15, and reading verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye accept. Ye abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, and ye are the branches, and he that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Verse 6. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7. And if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Before Jesus, you were not bearing the right fruit, being made ready for the fire. Now he is using you by grace, following Christ. And it's not based on being strong, naturally educated, or knowledgeable. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, I'm reading verse 3. And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The judgment is coming soon, and only those who are busy doing the will of God, living in the kingdom, are ready. Those circumcised by Christ are busy on the narrow way, getting ready to serve Christ more, through the Holy Spirit directing them. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, this is 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm reading verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and gives grace to the humble. The word younger in Strong's is number 3501. It's a primary word including the comparative second form, new, that is, of persons youthful and of things fresh, somebody new and young. If you are just born again, not hearing the Lord clearly, get connected to someone who is, and you will get more grace. God will fulfill your own needs, but not without seeking the kingdom of God first. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Those who are circumcised by Christ are persuaded that the kingdom of God is here now by the Spirit, and do not care what others think based on the wisdom of this world. They can rejoice in the fact that his Spirit is on them, directing their every step. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. This is Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Verse 2. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, and beware of the concision. Verse 3. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. In the Amplified Bible, Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3 says this: For the rest, my brethren, delight yourselves in the Lord and continue to rejoice that you're in Him. To keep writing to you over and over the same things is not irksome to me. It is a precaution for your safety. Look out for those dogs, Judaizers, legalists. Look out for those mischief makers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we Christians are the true circumcision, who worship God in spirit and by the Spirit of God, and exalt and glory and pride ourselves in Jesus Christ, and put no confidence or dependent on what we are in the flesh and on outward privileges and physical advantages and external appearances. Paul emphasized the need to rejoice again and again. Dogs are those who bark and create fear that brings a snare. Others bring condemnation. Obvious evil is always wrong. However, beware of those promoting Jewish traditions that lead to a comfortable religious life without any conviction and daily repentance through the Holy Spirit. Paul was writing his pleasure from being used in God's right hand. David said in the Psalms, chapter 16 and verse 11. This is in the Psalms. This is chapter 16. I'm reading verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The foundation of the Christian life is obedience to the truth that is revealed by the Spirit daily. It includes living in the light and repentance from sin. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19, this is 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal: the Lord knows them that are his, and everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If you start adjusting the word of God to suit your lifestyle, you are departing from the truth. You choose life by making him Lord. Jesus said in John 10 and verse 10, the thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. Man was given the power to serve, not to be served, and to overcome the devil by obeying the Spirit. We read in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. This is in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, I'm reading verse 4. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Verse 5. And he that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Verse 6. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. The Jews did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah, but the evidence was all over Israel through the disciples whom Jesus sent out to do the miracles. He did not even have to go himself and was looking at the temple that he directed Moses to build. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 23 to 28, I'm reading. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10, starting in verse 23. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Verse 24. Then came the Jews around him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Verse 25. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe me not. For the works I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Verse 26. But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Lazy, carnal Christians are religious and do not want to hear the truth about the kingdom of God now that is available by the Spirit. Number one, hear the voice of Jesus and obey consistently, even when corrected by and through the Spirit grieving. Number two, get to know Jesus personally and intimately using the gift of eternal life and not use your mind to understand the things of God. Number three, follow Christ by denying yourself daily and taking up your cross daily. Many deceive themselves and claim that they will never perish based on this verse just because they're born again. But this is not what it says. Those who believe lies and convince others do this because they do not want to trust Jesus with their own lives and follow him. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 7 and 8. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10. I'm reading verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Verse 8. All that have ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Jesus described carnal Christians as thieves and robbers, who see Christianity as just another religion, giving them the means to do what they want now and still not perish. Those who are born again need to confess their sins and repent of dead works. They need to use the grace of God to get clean and hear God. Many justify leaning to their own understanding, even when the Bible says not to do this. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This is Proverbs chapter 3. I'm reading verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Man was created to be the image of God, just like Jesus. The Jews were using their own minds, interpreting the scriptures, but could not recognize the Messiah. His life showed he was free from sin. Even today, those who are carnal are rejecting the messengers God sends to rescue them, preaching the truth about sin. The literal functional lordship of Jesus Christ is necessary for eternal salvation. Paul was talking about Jesus and said in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. This is Hebrews chapter 5 and reading verse 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Eternal life is a gift and a privilege to know and hear his voice personally and get the victory over sin. But you have to use it. Eternal life is a gift given to you at the same time you receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verses 2 and 3, I'm reading. This is John's Gospel, chapter 17, starting in verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Use the gift of eternal life to hear his voice now, and do not seek anything in this world to meet your own needs. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Paul had credentials, but he did not use them. His credentials were that he had become a new creature by following Christ. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." Before Paul came to Christ, he was religious. Paul had a one-way phone, praying to God and hearing nothing. He had just an outward sign of being different from the world based on human effort and circumcision. Through salvation and repentance from dead works in Jesus' name, Paul was able to dialogue with God using the gift of eternal life by faith. His ability to dialogue with God showed that his heart was circumcised to the will of God with no opinions. Paul became a new creature with a two-way phone. Paul said to Titus, in Titus chapter 2, I'm reading verses 1 to 10. This is Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 1. "But speak now the things which become sound doctrine." Verse 2. "That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience." Verse 3. "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given so much wine, teachers of good things." Verse 4. "That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children." Verse 5. "To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." Verse 6. "Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded." Verse 7. "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity." Verse 8. "Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Verse 9. "Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again." Verse 10. "Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things." For more information about sound doctrine or sound teaching in the church, please refer to the book Sound Doctrine by Joseph Hedgecock. The word become in verse 1 in Strong's is number 4241. It's apparently a primary verb, to tower up, to be conspicuous. That is, by implication, to be suitable or proper, to become or becomely. The word sound in verse 1 in Strong's is number 5198. It comes from some other words which mean sound, healthy. That is to be well in body, figuratively, to be uncorrupt, true in doctrine, to be in health, to be safe and sound, to be wholesome. Paul told Titus to speak those things that added up to sound, healthy, uncorrupt doctrine, edifying the whole church, using the gift of eternal life. The teaching was proven to be sound by the fact that those in the congregation experienced the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 to 5. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm reading verse 3. "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness." Verse 4. "He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, and railings, evil surmisings." Verse 5. "Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. A doctrine that does not produce godliness is wrong. Those teaching that earthly gain equates to godliness are destitute of the truth, and you should withdraw your support from such a prosperity-based gospel. Paul continues to write to Titus in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. This is Titus chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Verse 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. The word good in Strong's is number 2570. Of uncertain affinity, properly means beautiful, but chiefly, figuratively, good, literally or morally, that is valuable or virtuous for appearance or use, and is distinguished from the meaning of good in itself. So it's honest or well or worthy. A babe does not understand that the devil is the god of his world. Anyone not denying themselves daily and taking up their cross, they are also deceiving new converts who have just repented of dead works and desire to do the works that will please God. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 to 11, I'm reading. This is 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 6. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Verse 11. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. If you spend time seeking God and doing his perfect will, your life will bring glory to God. If you are busy doing things that please God, on the path he has set for you, then you will be rewarded in this life. However, there are also things you need to go without in this world to please him. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. This is Philippians chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Verse 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul was not keeping a list of the things that he had lost following Christ, but he'd already counted all the temporal things of this world has done to win Christ's response. He wanted to move Christ the way Jesus did by obeying the Father's will, even if it meant ending up in diverse trials and temptations as a result. From personal experience, Paul knew that as long as he was on the narrow path, God's grace was sufficient. Paul said in 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 11 to 17. I'm reading 1 Timothy, chapter 1, starting in verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 15. This is the faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Verse 17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory for ever and ever. Amen. Paul inherited the gospel after some of the apostles died. He experienced God's grace on the narrow way, even though he was the chief of sinners, doing the work of the devil. He delighted in the fact that the Lord was now using him, despite his terrible past. Paul's conversion and faith was an example that others could follow and become ministers of the truth. But this has been largely ignored for 2,000 years and replaced with academic teaching and training instead, destroying the heritage of the saints. For more information on how to prepare for the calling on your life, please read the book The Manifested Sons of God by Joseph Hedgecock. Paul accepted the high calling in Christ on his life. He wanted to be used by the Lord in whatever way the Lord could use him. He started serving immediately and was even faithful in the small things, and passed this advice on to Timothy. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm reading verse 20. But in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21. If a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Learn to be faithful in the small things, and serve, and you will move quickly into the calling God has on your life. Jesus said in Luke 16 and verse 10, this is Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, I'm reading verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much. You cannot choose the calling or the course set for your own life, because if you could, you would choose unwisely. A calling based on your own understanding and your natural talents and resources would not glorify God. He has to be the architect and provider for your life, for the Father in heaven to be glorified. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. This is Ephesians chapter 3, I'm reading verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Verse 21. Now unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God gets the glory in the church when his people do not limit themselves based on what he can do by thinking, and learn to serve. Every generation needs saving, and God needs you to learn to hear and obey. Paul said in Hebrews 11 and verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God and of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah and his family were the only ones saved by grace through faith. His faith was not just something he claimed, but was part of his daily activities. Noah was faithful with little or no help from others, doing what looked extremely foolish to the rest of the world. as he built an ocean-going vessel with gopher wood at least half the size of the Titanic in the desert. We read in Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 to 10. This is Genesis chapter 6. I'm starting in verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was just a man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Verse 10. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The dimensions of Noah's ark in Genesis chapter 6 are given in cubits. Length, 300 cubits. Breadth, 50 cubits. And height, 30 cubits. This was an attraction for about 120 years. Through Noah, everyone knew the flood was coming upon the earth because of the sin and corruption in the world. God was speaking in Genesis chapter 6, verses 17 to 22. I'm reading Genesis chapter 6, starting in verse 17. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Verse 18. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. Verse 19. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee, and they shall be male and female. Verse 20. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. Verse 21. And take them unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Verse 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. God made a covenant with Noah because he did everything he was commanded. Noah became the father of nations through faith, building a boat in the desert. He could only do this because he could hear God's voice. No one had done anything like this before. Noah was about 600 years old when the flood came upon the earth. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 to 42. I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, starting in verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 38. But as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, unto the day that Noah entered into the ark. Verse 39. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 40. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Verse 41. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken and the other left. Verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Jesus will come at a time when people are eating and drinking freely again. Large gatherings have been restricted, and the number of people working together at one time is limited. The hospitality trade has not fully recovered. Jesus' coming is closer now than ever. You could also become a father of many nations when Jesus comes back in his kingdom, if you are following Christ. The people will not see a boat in the desert, but rather someone who's rejoicing in their calling as the effects of the worldwide pandemic continues to bite. Paul was able to rejoice in all circumstances. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9, I'm reading. This is Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Paul was the circumcision, which was proven by the way he was living. He expected the Corinthians to follow his example despite the circumstances he was going through that came about because of his calling. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 to 16, I'm reading. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 10. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Verse 11. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. Verse 12. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. Verse 13. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Verse 14, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. Verse 15, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Verse 16, whereby I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Paul's trials and experiences convinced him that he was chosen for better things, that he was getting ready to rule and reign with Christ, because God was using him again and again. Paul said in Philippians 2 and verse 17, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. The circumcision of Christ is a sign that you are set apart, and you'll be ready for his appearing to rule with a pure heart. James said in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 5, I'm reading. This is James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, an entire, wanting nothing. Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally, and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. The wisdom here James was talking about was not the wisdom of this world. James also said in James chapter 3, verses 15 to 18. This is James chapter 3. I'm reading verse 15. This wisdom that descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Verse 16. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Verse 18. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Those who are growing spiritually in godly wisdom are comparing themselves to Christ and not others, who are living comfortably in this world and making excuses for sin. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 to 24. This is Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 20. But we have not so learned Christ. Verse 21. If so be, ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22. that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Those circumcised by Christ, number one, are denying themselves and taking up their cross daily. Number two, always serving and being faithful in small things. Number three, living by faith, following Christ on the narrow way. Number four, overcoming sin and the devil. Number five, seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. And number six, rejoicing always. When Jesus came the first time, the devil had the keys to death, hell, and the grave. It looked impossible, but Jesus overcame by faith. Jesus did this by following the Father's plan of salvation for all mankind, not thinking about his own needs. Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 to 14, this is Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, where also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out the way, nailing it to his cross. You can only serve God by becoming like a little child. If you choose to serve sin now, you are believing a lie that you have to serve sin because you still want something in this life. You become the devil's prisoner through your own carnal desires. James said in James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15, that when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. The devil can only build a prison around you when you rely on your mind to come to truth and make excuses. You will only deceive yourself and shipwreck your calling, giving the devil access again. For more information on how the devil can take you captive through lust, read the book, The Guilted Prison, revised edition by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to get to the root reason why you believe lies that the devil used to ensnare you. God is not the problem. By faith, God can make a way where there seems to be no way. Paul said in Romans chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. This is Romans chapter 4 and verse 12. And the father of circumcision, to them who are not of the circumcision only, but also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. There is still time to repent and overcome sin, but only by doing whatever God tells you to do instead. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 to 14. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm reading verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth, lest he fall. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. In the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians 10:14 says, therefore, my dearly beloved, shun, keep away from, avoid by flight, if need be, any sort of idolatry, of loving or venerating anything more than God. The devil is not the cause of sin. The root of sin is idolatry. For you to sin, you have to exalt something else and yourself above God, rebel and serve the lust of your flesh. You might laugh at those who worship a graven image, but if you have not let go of what you're holding on to, you are doing the same. James said in James chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. This is James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Verse 10. But the rich in that he's been made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. Verse 11. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withers the grass, and the flower thereof faileth, and the grace and the fashion of it perisheth. So shall the rich man fade away in his ways. God's loving kindness and good decisions have kept this world going a bit longer to give everyone more time to repent. The rich and famous are a bit slow to realize that this world is passing away, because they're quite comfortable in this world. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep, Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious works, where you do not have to deny yourself daily and trust God. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. The message today is about the circumcision. You have heard how Paul lived that life. He trusted in what God provided. He didn't go seeking after comforts and the things of this world, but put his full focus on the fact that God had given him a chance to be who God called him to be. And God called him to be an apostle, a vessel of honor. And he began serving from day one. He didn't waste time. He submitted to the other disciples who were around him and started serving. Here you are today. This could be your fresh start. Decide to submit yourself first to God and trust that God has provided around you the people who will disciple you and equip you. God will do it through them. He will do it despite them. That God will finish the work. He will use whoever he wants to use. Put yourself in the hands of God right now. Father, I'm praying for everyone who's listening to this message that they will become the circumcision, like Paul, that they will deny themselves and totally give themselves to you and follow you in every detail, learning to hear your voice in everything, through everything. And repent at every moment when they are convicted and be chastened to become who you want them to be. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or in a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. Please get in touch if you know the Lord is telling you to do so. We'd love to hear about how God has changed your life through these messages. God bless you.